For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is May the 17th. We are beginning Melachim Beis, Perek Aleph. So we had Achav has been killed and his son Achaziah has taken over. So the Navi tells us Vayivsha Moav be Yisrael. Moav, the word poshea, the verb really means to be negligent, but here it means that they were able to break forth against the Jewish people. They came against the Jewish people. They rebelled. Acharei Mos Achav, after Achav died. So Achav was a very powerful king, and after he died, his kingdom began to fall apart, and Moav now breaks free. Vayipol Achaziah ba'an hasvacha. And Achaziah fell near the svacha. A svacha is a lattice work. And different mefarshim say different things over here, whether it was a skylight, and he was on the second floor. I mean, it says Ba'ali Asa on the second floor. So whether he fell through a skylight or whether it was some sort of a window, but he fell from an upper story. Ba'ali Asa Asher B'Shomron from his attic, second floor that was in Shomron. Va'yachal, he became sick. Va'yishlach malachim, and he sent messengers. He sent four messengers. Va'yom aleim, he sent to them, l'chu dirshu b'val zvuv Elohei Ekron. Go and seek out from Baal Zvuv, the god of Ekron, imechye mecholi zeh, if I will live from this sickness. So go to the Avodah Zara, Baal Zvuv, the Elohim of Ekron, and see if I'm going to live or not. Now, just a sidebar, one is not allowed to say the name of an Avodah Zarah. It says, V'shem Elohim Acharim Lo Tazkiru, the Pasuk says in Chumash. You're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah. The exception to this is any name of Avodah Zarah that appears in Tanakh, you're allowed to say. That's why you're allowed to say Baal Zvuv, even though it is an Avodah Zarah. One is allowed to say the name because it is written in Tanakh. But if it's not written in Tanakh, one should not say the name of an Avodah Zarah. So go seek out this Avodah Zarah, Baal Zvuv, and find out if I'm going to live. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Umalach Hashem diber el Eliyah HaTishbi. An angel of Hashem spoke to Eliyah HaTishbi. Kum alei, get up and go. Likras Malachei Melech Shomron, to greet the messengers of the king of Shomron, v'daber aleim, and speak to them as follows: Hamibli ein Elokim b'Yisrael, is there no God in Israel? Atem holchim lidrosh b'Baal Zvuv Elohei Ekron, that you're going to seek out Baal Zvuv, the God of Ekron. We don't have any gods here in Israel. V'lachein, and therefore, komar Hashem, so says Hashem. Hamita Shalisa Sham, the bed that you have gone up into, Lo Seirid Mimena, you will not come out of it. Kimos Tamus, for you will die. Vayelech Eliyah, and then Eliyahu went. He went and he did this. He told the messengers this message from the angel that because you, Achaziah, because you sought out an Avodah Zarah rather than Hashem, because of that, you are not going to recover from this sickness. You are going to die. Now, the clear implication here is that had he sought out Hashem, he would have lived. It's because he sought out the Avodah Zarah, that is why he is not going to live. Now, that should give us a window into what is happening here with his falling out of this this Aliyah, that there is something going on over here that is meant to push him in one direction, but he ends up going in the wrong direction. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayashuvu hamalachim elav. So the messengers returned to him. Vayomer aleihem, Achaziah said to them, Ma zeh shavtem, why'd you come back? They came back much too quickly. for their trip. Vayomer Elav, they said to him, Ish alali krasenu, a man came up to greet us. Vayomer Elenu, he said to us, L'chu shuvu el ha-melech asher shalach eschem, go back to the king that sent you. V'dibaratem Elav, and you shall speak to him. Ko'amar Hashem, says his Hashem, Hami bli ein elokim b'Yisrael, is there no Hashem in Yisrael? Atah sholeach lidrosh b'val zvuv elohi ekron, you're sending to seek out the Baal Zvuv, the god of Ekron? Lachin Amita Asher Alisa Hashem, therefore the bed that you have gone up into, Lo Seirid Mimena, you will not come out of it, Ki Mos Tamus, you will surely die. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohech Haolam Shehakol Nivra.
Amen. Did this Malach appear as a man, or?
Doesn't tell us.
We don't have any idea.
Doesn't tell us.
It seems
that Eliyahu knew that he was a Malach. So.
Okay.
Vayedaber Aleihem, he spoke to them, Me mishpat vaydamer. So the Achaziah said to the messengers, who did not give any name of who had spoken to them. Apparently, Elio had not told them his name. Me mishpat ha'ish asher alal likraschem. What is the way of the man that came up to greet you? Give me a description. Vaydamer lechem asatvar ma'ila, and he spoke to you these words. Vayomer elav, they said to him, Ish baal seyar. He's a man who has hair. Baal Seyar means he has hair. Eliyahu HaNavi had locks of hair on his head. He had thick hair and locks of hair on his head. Ve'ezor or azur b'masnav. And a leather belt was belted around his waist. Vayomar, and he said, Eliyahu HaTishbi hu, that is Eliyahu HaTishbi. He knew from the description that this was Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, we're going to hold the thought about the description of Eliyahu HaNavi. We're going to see later that Eliyahu HaNavi's Talmud, his student, Elisha, who will take over for Eliyahu after Eliyahu goes up to Shamayim, we already know that from Malachim Aleph, that he's already told him he's going to be his successor. We're going to see later that Elisha is going to have a run-in with some non-God-fearing people who will call him a kereach, which means bald. Eliyahu was known as the one with hair, and Elisha was known as the bald one. So we're going to contrast that when we get to that incident with Elisha. For the time being, just hold the description that Eliyahu Navi is called a baal seyar, a man of hair, and also he had a leather belt around his waist. Those two things were giveaways that this was Eliyahu HaNavi. So now Achaziah knows that it was Eliyahu HaNavi who sent the message to him that he's going to die. What should Achaziah do? Pasuk test verse 9. Vayishlach Elav sar chamishim v'chamishav. He sent to Eliyahu HaNavi a sar chamishim, that's an officer in charge of 50 men, and his 50, meaning he sent a battalion of 50 soldiers with their general, with their whatever it is, their officer. Vayale love, and they came up to him. Fine Yoshev al Rosh Ahar, Eliyahu HaNavi was at the top of the mountain. Vaydaberi love, and he spoke to him. Ish Elokim, man of God, Hamelech Diber, the king has spoken. Reda, come down. So the officer called out to Eliyahu HaNavi, the king has spoken, come down. Vayan Eliyahu answered. Vayidaber el sarah chamishim. He spoke to the officer of 50. V'imish Elokim ani, if I am a man of God, as you are calling me, tered esh min hashamayim, let fire come down from heaven. V'socha lo schov es chamishecha, let it consume you and your 50 men. V'tered esh min hashamayim, fire came down from heaven. V'tocha lo schov es chamishav. He and his soldiers were consumed by the fire. Not bad.
Vayosh, no survivors left to tell the tale.
Well, apparently somebody must have seen it, but not them, right? Vayoshav, he returned, meaning Achaziah tried again. Vayishlach Elav Ser Chamishim Acher Vachamishav. So he sent another officer of 50 and his soldiers. Vayan, and he called out. Vayidaber Elav, he spoke to him, meaning to Elio. Ishu Elokim, man of God, Kamar Amelech. So says the king, Mehera Reda, come down quickly. Enough of this. Get down here. Vayan Eliyahu, So Eliyahu answered, "Vayidaber Elohim." He spoke to him. Imisha Elokim ani, if I am a man of God, tevedish min hashamayim. Let fire come down from heaven. Let it consume you and your soldiers. Vayidaber Elokim min hashamayim. Fire of God came down from heaven. Vatochal osoves chamishav. Consumed him and his soldiers. Don't mess with Eliyahu
Navi. Why were they deserving of this punishment?
Because they came after him. They were no tzaddikim. Yeah. Vayashav vayishlach sechamishim shilishim vachamishav. Achaziah is a glutton for punishment. So he goes back and he sends yet another, a third officer of 50 and his soldiers. Vayal vayavo sechamishim ashlishi. So the third officer of 50 came and he is a little nervous because of what happened to the first two. Vayichral birkov. He bowed on his knees, leneged Elio, across Melio. Vayischan ani lov, and he beseeched him. Vayidaber lov, and he spoke to him. Ish malakim, man of God. Tikar non nafshi, let my soul be precious. V'nefesh avodecha ela, and the souls of your servants, these servants of yours. Chamishim, these 50 soldiers, beinecha, in your eyes. Let our souls be precious to you. Please, don't do to us what you did to the other ones. Mm-hmm. We're not acting out of our own interest. This is the king sending us. Hine yardo esh min hashamayim. Behold, fire came down from heaven. Vatochal es shnei sari hachamishim arishonim ves chamishayhem. And it consumed the first two officers of 50 and their soldiers. V'atah now tikar nafshi beinecha. Now let my soul be precious in your eyes. Don't do that to us. V'idaber malach Hashem Eliyahu. El Eliyahu. So now, Eliyahu, before he had a chance to answer, an angel of Hashem spoke to Eliyahu and said, Raid Oso, go down with him. Al tirami panav, do not be afraid of him. So don't call down the fire of heaven. Rather, go down with this particular officer. Vayakam, Elio got up. Vayerid Oso, he went down with him. El Hamelech, to the king. So for the third one, Elio does go down with this group of the soldiers. Vayidaber Elov, and he, Elio, said to Achaziah, Komar Hashem, so says Hashem, Yana Shalachta Malachim Lidrosh Beval Zvuv Elohei Ekron, because you sent messengers to seek out the Baal Zvuv, the God of Ekron. Hamiblian Elohim be Israel, is there no God in Israel? Lidrosh Bidvaro, to seek out his word? Lachain, therefore, Amita Shalisa Sham, the bed that you went up into it, Lo Seyred Mimena, you will not get down from it, Kimos Tamuz, you will die. Vayamas kidvar Hashem ashediber Eliyahu. He died like the word of Hashem that Eliyahu said. Vayimloch Yehoram tachtav, and Yehoram, remember Yehoram is his brother. His brother became king in his stead. Bishnas shtayim liYehoram ben Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda. This is the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda. Kilo hayalo bein, because Achaziah did not have any sons. V'yaser divrei Achaziah hasher asa, and the rest of the things Achaziah did. Halo hem aksuvim al sefer divrei Yom Malchei Yisrael. They are written on the chronicles of the kings of Yisrael. Our sages, Chazal, ask a powerful question about Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. It says that Achaziah, the son of Achav, died in the second year of Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat. But we will see later that this is in fact not true. Because he actually became king in the 19th year of Yehoshaphat. And as we'll see, if you work through the years, he became king in the 19th year of Yehoshaphat, and Yehoshaphat ruled for 25 years. So how could it be that this is referring to him as the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat? So, Chazal say as follows, because in Yehoshaphat's, at the end of his 17th year, that was when Yehoshaphat went to war with Achav against Aram. In that battle, as you know, they almost killed Yehoshaphat. And Yehoshaphat, they converged on thinking he was Achav, and they were about to kill him. And he cried out to Hashem, and he was spared. So, really, Yehoshaphat would have died then. Mm-hmm. And if Yehoshaphat would have died then, Yehoshaphat's son Yehoram would have taken over. So, 2 years later, after that battle, Achav was killed. Ahaziah became king in place of Achav. 2 years later, Ahaziah himself dies. So, the Pasuk says he died in the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat. Meaning, it was the second year that Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, was ready to take over as king. Because Yehoshaphat was almost killed. Had Yehoshaphat been killed, then Yehoram, the son of Achav, the son of Yehoshaphat, would have become king. So this is Ahaziah dies, and Yehoram, the son of Achav, becomes king in his place, in what would have been the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat. That is what is meant by saying that it was the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat. It was not the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat has several more years of being king before Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, will become king. And at that point, we will have the confusing time of having a Yehoram who's the king of Yehuda and a Yehoram who's the king of Israel. That will be confusing. But right now, Yehoshaphat is still the king of Yehuda. But it is 2 years after it was almost Yehoram, the king of Yehuda. That is the explanation Chazal say. It's a fine explanation, but it begs the question, why would the Navi write something so confusing and count from the time that Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, would have become king? Who cares if he would have become king? He didn't become king at that time. Yehoshaphat davened and was saved. So, evidently, the Navi is trying to emphasize to us that this event in history of Yehoshaphat davening was significant, and it contributes to the story we just read. Even though the story we just read is about Ahaziah, the son of Achav, however, there is something important to be noted about the incident of Yehoshaphat davening to Hashem. Now, Achav, as we know, is a Rasha. Achav was killed. We know that. We know that it was predicted that he would be killed. We also know that it was predicted that really his entire dynasty is going to be wiped out, which is going to happen. His son Ahaziah takes over. After son Ahaziah dies, then Yehoram, Ahaziah's brother, takes over. And then Yehoram will be wiped out along with the rest of the line of Achav. It's going to be totally decimated. We also have seen over and over again that Hashem has been merciful to Achav when Achav has done tshuva. Despite all the bad, when Achav does tshuva, Hashem does respond. And in fact, the reason why there still is a dynasty after Achav's death is because of Achav's tshuva when Achav was still alive. So even though Achav was eventually killed, but he does have a son, two sons actually, who take over as king. When Ahaziah takes over, so he has in front of him, as everybody has in front of them, two choices. He can be God-fearing or not. Given what happened to his father, so you would hope that Ahaziah would get a message and do better than his father. But Ahaziah does not get the message. But it's more than that. In the battle with that Achav was killed, Yehoshaphat was almost killed. We learned, why was Yehoshaphat almost killed? Because of the fact that he joined with Ahaziah. With Achav. Because he joined with Achav. So he was almost killed. We explained at the time that he was almost killed because he was mistaken for Achav, which would have been poetic justice. Here, you're joining with Achav, so you're killed in by someone who was trying to kill Achav, thinking you were Achav. Now in the end, Yehoshaphat cried out to Hashem, he was saved. Achav is killed, and the way he was killed was miraculous. Somebody shot an arrow without any aim, and it just happened to get right in the spot where it could possibly kill Achav, miraculously. Anybody at that battle should have walked away with a sense of awe of Hashem, because no one else was killed in the battle except Achav, and a sense of wanting to do tshuva and do well. Look what happened. Yehoshaphat was almost killed. He did tshuva. He was saved. Achav was killed. No one else was killed. It should inspire some return to Hashem. That's what ought to have happened. But instead, Ahaziah just goes on with his Avodah Zarah to the point where when he gets sick, he seeks out an Avodah Zarah rather than Hashem. Now, how did he get sick? Moab rebelled, okay? And then it says Ahaziah was on the second floor and he took a tumble. He fell. So, it's not like the king's quarters were dangerous quarters. He's in the palace. So, if anybody's life is protected, it's the king's life. They don't have weak stairs or weak railings where the king resides. And here, he seems to have fallen through the latticework, either of the skylight or the window, whatever it is. But he seems to have fallen through the latticework. The latticework, you can be sure, was supposed to be a reinforced latticework.
Kind of like our bridge.
I-5 is starting. Oh, yeah, I see. Right. It was. You can be sure that it should have been one that could support the weight of many people, especially if it was a skylight. The point was, it was something you could see through to the next floor, but you could also walk on it. It was like a grate, and you could walk on it. And Ahaziah walked on it, and it broke, and he fell, which was not expected, not common. It should not have happened. So the very fact that he fell through this svacha, this lattice work, the very fact that Moab had now rebelled against the kingdom, Hashem is sending Ahaziah message after message. Here you had it. You had a powerful message at the battle in which someone who was posing as your father was almost killed. He was a big tzaddik. He did tshuva and he was saved. Your father was miraculously shot and he was killed. No one else died. You ignore the whole thing. You're on the second floor. You fall through something which really shouldn't have fallen through. So you're going from a height to a depth. And now you're sick. You're in bed. Your life is in danger. You seek out an Avodah Zarah? Really? Like, what are you doing? So Ahaziah was given opportunity to do tshuva. Hashem was giving him chances, but he's not willing to take the messages. And instead, he seeks out an Avodah Zarah. But even when he seeks out the Avodah Zarah, what happens? He sends the messengers to go to Baal Zvuv Elohei Ekron. That's what he does. Fine. They're on their way. They just barely left the palace. Eliyahu Navi steps forward and says, go back and tell him he's going to die. Okay. They go back. Eliyahu goes up a mountain, wherever he is. Probably it was probably
Carmel.
Carmel, right. Probably. So then soldiers come to get him. Eliyahu says, I'm not coming. If I'm mad at God, let fire come down. Boom. They're incinerated on the spot. So How is Ahaziah supposed to react to that?
Do tshuva.
Do tshuva. Even at this point, when Eliyahu told him, you're not getting out of bed, you're going to die, all was not lost, because Eliyahu didn't tell him directly. He sent messengers to tell him. He never told him directly. There was still a chance that things could go better. But Ahaziah still doesn't get the message and sends a second group. So the second group comes. And same thing. And Eliyahu says, nothing doing. And fire comes down from heaven. Psh, they're incinerated. Ahaziah can get the message again. He doesn't get the message. Sends a third group. The third group, they themselves, the leader, is Machniah himself. He humbles himself before Eliyahu. And Eliyahu, this time, goes with him. Then Malach says, go with him. But now he comes to Ahaziah and he tells him directly. He tells him directly that now you're not coming out of bed. And that's it. Then it's over. The messages are over. It's done. Chances are done. Hashem gave him one chance, another chance, another chance, another chance, another chance. And he's unwilling to listen. That's it. It's all over. And now he does die. And that's the end of Ahaziah, the son of Achav. Why does the Navi say that he died in the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, when in fact Yehoshaphat was still king? Because Ahaziah was operating under the reality that would have been had Yehoshaphat been killed, God forbid, and Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, would have taken over. Because Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, is a Rasha, as we will see. And Ahaziah, the son of Achav, is operating under that reality. He's ignoring all of the signs. He's ignoring all the messages. He's pretending like it didn't happen. Yehoshaphat was killed. He's pretending that that's what it was. He's not allowing himself to be affected by the overt messages that Hashem is sending his way. He's building a wall between himself and all of these clear, clear signs that he needs to do tshuva. So therefore the Navi says he was killed in the second year of Yehoram. He was killed as if Yehoram had taken over, because he's acting as if Olam Kiminhago Holech. The world goes according to its natural way. There's no supernatural interference. God is out playing golf somewhere. There's nothing to worry about. God didn't save Yehoshaphat. God didn't kill Achav. God didn't have me fall out of the second floor. God didn't have fire come down and burn up the first group or the second group. Ignore, 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 ignore. So at a certain point, it's too much. And at that point, he's dead. Yeah, you have a question.
Yeah, is that why when Natan Hanavi goes to David, he says a parable about what he did wrong instead of saying, this is what you did wrong? Because if it's direct, it's more binding?
That's interesting. I don't know. That's a good question. I always understood over there he used the parable because it was a greater impact on David HaMelech. David there demonstrated that he was willing to change. That was the greatness of David, that as soon as the message was sent his way, he's the exact opposite of Ahaziah. He's able to immediately say, Chatasi, I sin. That's his greatness. So I always understood that the parable brought that message, that it gave him the opportunity to do that. Where if it would have been a direct, you know,
I don't know.
It just said, you're wrong, you did something wrong. I mean, he says...
Because here it says you're going to die.
Yeah.
So even if he did tshuva at this point, you're saying it was sealed.
At this point, it seems it was sealed. Right. It seems that way. The Gemara says that the words of a Navi can be... There can always be another meaning to it. The classic case, the Gemara says this case, but we know it from Yom Kippur. The classic case is Yonah, where Yonah says... 40 days, Nineveh will turn over, will be overturned. So that can mean overturned physically, or it can mean overturned spiritually. It was their choice. They chose to overturn themselves spiritually. It wasn't necessary to overturn them physically. The words of the Navi came true, but not in what you would have expected it to be. So that's what I mean, that even when he says to him, even when he sends him a message that the bed you came up with, you're not going to get out, you're going to die, in theory, that still had some chance of being maybe reinterpreted, maybe softened a little bit, whatever it is. But at this point, once he tells them straight, then there's nothing else that can be done. Right? Yeah, but it's an interesting question with David. I don't know if that's the reason. It's a good point. That's a good point. This episode with Ahaziah, of all the episodes that we've gone through in Tanakh, I mean, this message of this perek, which is that you got to pay attention to what's going on around you. You got to pay attention to what Hashem is doing and not pretend like it's all just happenstance. This message is really an overarching message throughout Navi. We see it all the time, that those who are willing to open themselves up to what it is that Hashem is trying to tell them, either overtly or indirectly, they succeed. And those who choose to ignore and pretend like nothing happened and put blinders over their eyes, put their head in the sand, they're the ones who are destroyed. We see it over and over again. And at the very least, that is the message that we need to take out of learning Navi. Just in general learning Navi, it's something we've seen over and over and over and over and over again. But I find that in this perek, it is a more blatant message. Just the point here is nothing but this. You just see that he doesn't want to listen. This wasn't that he was kind of like oblivious. This was a conscious decision to ignore it. Otherwise, you can't explain it. How do you ignore these things? Fire comes down from heaven and burns them all up, and you just pretend like it didn't happen? It can't be. It has to be that he had made a decision. I will not allow myself to be affected. I am right. Everybody else is wrong. I don't care. It has to be. Because how does he ignore these things? And you see what happened to him. We tend to do the same thing on a smaller scale. That we don't want to believe what is expected of us. We don't want to accept our obligations. We want to be able to do what we want to do. And we try to push away the clear directives of Hashem. We have better times and worse times. Around Yom Kippur time, we tend to open ourselves up to more. When it's not Yom Kippur time, we tend to push away our responsibilities. But the message here is obvious, that one has to open themselves up to what it is that Hashem is trying to tell them. Okay, it's early. We're going to stop here for this evening.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.